Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you're here. My name's Ashley Terades and this is my awesome wife, Carly. And thank you for joining us today in the lounge. Praise God. The first thing I want to tell you about is our website. It's terradesministries.com. And if you go to terradesministries.com today, we are going to give you this confession card as our gift to you, completely free of charge. It's all scriptures about who you are in Christ. It's really going to bless you. It's going to help you with your identity in Christ. I do this daily. It really blesses me. There's some great scriptures on here. It's going to really help you understand your identity in Christ. So go to our website and get your card today.
Completely free.
Completely free. We're not even going to charge you shipping. We'll just send it to you inside the States.
Amen.
Not abroad, inside the States.
Will I get an email?
That we can email it to you if you're outside.
Which is instant.
If you're outside of the United States of America, we'll email it to you. So praise the Lord. We are looking at enemies to your prosperity today. So, you know, we believe God wants you to prosper. We believe God wants you financially prosperous. It's just one of the benefits of the gospel. There's lots of benefits, but one of them is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Jesus became poor that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And we believe God wants you financially prosperous so you can give more, you can live better, praise God, and you can help more people. God can establish his covenant, Deuteronomy 8:18. So what we're looking at the moment is enemies of our prosperity. And in the previous show, I talked about the enemy of laziness and about not being diligent. And today we're going to look at, the first thing we're going to look at is independence.
Independence.
Now you would think independence is a good thing. I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up from my own bootstraps, praise God. And I, you know, I'm a self-made man and I'm all this other thing, independence. But you know what? It's really not the heart of independence or one of the fruits of independence really is pride. If you're the type of person who says, bless God, I did it myself. I'm a self-made man. I didn't need help from anyone else. Really, that is pride.
I did it my way.
I did it my way. Who was that? That was the singer.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. I won't sing.
Don't.
I was just about to break into singing then. I was very close to break into singing. You know what? I didn't want to show anyone up with my amazing voice.
Yeah.
I did it my way. So anyway, so independence really is not a good thing if you're doing it independent from God. You know, God made you to be dependent on him. He made you to be dependent on him and his resources. And you know, we're never meant to do things on our own without the Lord. You know, it's just it's just not how it's meant to be. You know,
we're not designed that way.
We're not designed that way. This is Psalms 118, verse 8. This is Psalms 118, verse 8. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is, and then verse 9 says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You know, we are meant to trust in God first. We're meant to be reliant on God. And sometimes it's tough, especially for men. I don't know if it sounds sexist, but you know, sometimes for men in particular, it's difficult to rely on God because it's almost like weakness. Well, why do I need a crutch to rely on God? Or can I do it myself? No, you can't. You couldn't be born on your own. You couldn't be, you know, you couldn't even breathe air if it wasn't for God. You would, I mean, nothing, you can't make the sun come up. Mm-hmm. You can't make the sun go down. I'm telling you, we need God. And you need God every day, whether you know that or not. You are fully reliant on God. And I'm telling you, if you think you can do it on your own, that's a dangerous situation to be. I don't care how tough you are, how big you are. I'm telling you, you need God. And God wants you to be dependent on him instead of being independent. Independent can be prideful.
Right.
And, you know, we're meant to be dependent on God. So God wants us dependent on him. You know, I'm thinking of the prodigal son's a great example. Mm-hmm. The prodigal son was like, you know what? I'm going to go off on my own. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to take what's mine.
He took all his inheritance and ran away with it.
So he went to the father. He went to his father and he said, I want my inheritance now. I want it early, which is type of really disrespectful, by the way. But the father was like, okay. He was so gracious. He's like, okay, if you want to do that. So he gave him his part of the inheritance. And guess what he did? He went off and he squandered it. You know, he went out drinking and partying and fast living.
Riotous living.
Riotous living. And then some of it he wasted.
But then he ended up with the pigs.
And he ended up in the pit. And he was a Jew. So this was like extreme bottom of the barrel. This was like really bad.
Eating the pig food.
A
bad day.
A Jew to be serving the pigs and mucking out the pigs is not a good job. I don't know if you know pigs. You know, I don't know any pigs personally. But I'm just saying pigs are smelly. I mean, I've got a friend who's got a farm in the Midwest. And he's got pigs, and pigs are smelly as anything. I'm telling you what, they just smell. And it makes his clothes, I mean, he just smells of pigs. So I love him, but he's, I mean, anyway, so Pigs are smelly. So you're dealing with pigs, you're going to smell, especially if you're a Jew. You don't even like pigs. They're unclean. It's a bad deal. So this guy went from being, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be independent, and hitting rock bottom. And he comes to a realization, hang on a minute. My way isn't so hot. My way isn't so good.
Look where it's gotten me.
Exactly. I'm doing it my way. And you know what? It's really not working out. I need to go back to my dad. And I need to go back to him, and mm-hmm. maybe I can beg for his forgiveness, and maybe he'll make me like a hired hand, he'll make me like one of his servants. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he knew that he was much better off in a relationship with his dad than without it. And you know what? If you, maybe you're watching today and you're not even born again, you don't even know the Lord, you haven't even got Jesus your Savior, and you think, I don't need no Savior, I don't need a crutch. Let me tell you, you were designed to rely on God, right. And you need a Savior. You cannot, the only thing you can create on your own is a mess. You need a Savior. There's only one place, there's only one throne in your heart, and that needs to be occupied by Jesus, not you. There's only Amen. One God, you're not him. So you know what? Just humble yourself and take second place to God. It would really bless you if you did that. So this prodigal son realized, you know what? I need to go back to my father. It's a great story. I haven't got time to go into it all, but it's a great story mm-hmm. because as he's heading back, he's rehearsing his lines. Okay, I'm going to say sorry, and maybe you'll make me a servant. But the father was watching out for him. He was looking out for him. He saw him a long way off.
Yeah, it says he saw him.
And he ran towards
off.
Him. Yeah, and he ran towards him. Yeah. He was looking for him. That's just a picture of our Father God.
Right.
He is looking out, like, who's going to come back to me? Who's going to realize their ways and come back to me? And then he runs to meet the prodigal son, and he doesn't even let him get his whole speech out about the forgiveness and everything else. He just hugs him and kisses him and says, bring the fattened calf, bring the robe, put a ring on his finger. I mean, he was like all about it. Yeah. Like, this was like a celebration because his son had come back. So I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, you know, you were meant to be dependent on God, yeah. your Father. God, your Father only has good things for you. He's going to make you more successful than you could ever be on your own. So quit with the independence thing and realize, you know what, you need to rely on God. Praise God. You need to rely on God. So another enemy of your prosperity. If you think you need to be independent and you need to make it yourself and you need to be a self-made man, that can hinder your prosperity. That can hinder you prospering financially God's way because you'll make some stupid mistakes, you'll resist help, and you'll just be like, you know what, I could do it on my own. No, you need God in order to prosper God's way, praise God. So,
and here's the thing, you know, when we're intent on doing things our way, we're only limited to our own creativity, our own ideas, and our own abilities. But when we hook into the supernatural power of God, he puts his super to our natural.
Amen.
It's like he uses our natural ability, yes, our God-given talents and gifts, but he supercharges it. Amen. And he can lead us into a place of success. He can help us to avoid pitfalls and bad business decisions, wrong moves, losses, heartache. He knows the path ahead, and he can lead us in the path of success.
So I mean, yeah, there's just so many examples about
it. He's the best business advisor ever.
Amen. It really is. It's amazing. I'm just thinking of one example that came to mind. You know, we had a rental property in England, and it was time to remortgage it. I had a mortgage that was, it was an adjustable rate. I wouldn't recommend that. It was an adjustable rate mortgage, and it came to the end of the term, so I had to remortgage it. So I had three people that I knew personally, and they were all into mortgages. Two of them were mortgage brokers, and one of them had a bank. So it was like these people, if these three people who were close to me, one of them was a family member, couldn't get me a loan, no one could get me a loan. So I asked them, and all three of them worked on it. They came back to me and they said, we cannot make the numbers work.
It's impossible.
We cannot make the numbers work. You're going to have to sell the house. You're going to have to kick out the tenants. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to do that. These are a good Christian family. They didn't want to leave the house. I was like, this is not right. And I got to thinking, you know what? I need to rely on God.
Amen.
I need to be dependent on God. So I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I said, God, I thank you. You've got an answer. This seems to be impossible. But you know what? Where there seems to be no way, you can make a way.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, that you can make a way. You can show me a way of escape. And I want to do the right thing. And I want these people to be able to stay in this house. But I don't want to lose a bunch of money every month. I think you're going to work it out. I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I did a Google search. And up come this rent-to-own mortgage company in England. I called them. It was like 9 p.m. at night. And the guy answered. It was like a one-man band. He answered. He was like, no problem. He got me a mortgage so good. I mean, this mortgage lasted like 10 years.
It was supernatural.
It was so good. We was cash flowing every month. It was the lowest interest rate. It was better than the mortgage before. I mean, it was just awesome. But I put God first. I was like, you know, I'm going to do it God's way. And even in the natural, I had all these resources. There's nothing wrong with reaching out in the natural for resources. But at the heart of it, our foundation has got to be, I'm going to rely on God and I'm going to do it God's way. And I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Let me tell you, God's been around a few years longer than you have. God knows how to get things done. God, there's no problem too big and there's certainly no problem too small for God. He can deal with it. So make sure you're keeping God front and center and you're being dependent on him, because the more dependent you are on God, I'm telling you, the more successful you're going to be and the more God's going to lead you into victory. He leads you to victory. He leads you into broad places. He leads you into victory, praise God, and he wants the best for you. So be dependent on God. Amen. Don't be independent.
Amen. Go to the bank of Jesus.
Amen. The bank of Jesus.
The first bank of Jesus.
The first bank of Jesus. Okay, next one I've got is being unteachable.
Oh, wow. Being
unteachable.
That mean?
Unteachable, I'm telling you.
Teach me.
Teach you. Well, someone who knows it all, you know, and we all know these people. And if you don't know anyone like that, it may be because it's you. Come back. Come back. Don't turn the TV off. Come back in the room. Come back in the room.
You've lost half of the audience
Everyone repeat. Everyone repeat. You love Ashley. Okay. It's all good. But no, seriously, I'm trying to help you here. This has got nothing. These enemies of your prosperity have got nothing to do with how much God loves you, how much God accepts you. This is not heaven and hell issues. We're just trying to give you some practical advice on how to succeed financially with the Lord. And you can apply these to other areas as well.
Right.
But I've just realized, you know what, there's some natural things we can do, or there's some principles we need to put into place from the Word of God that are going to help us prosper. Some people say, well, how comes these things just happen to you good? It's not that they don't just happen. Favor's attracted. And I'm telling you, things, when you do some of these things or don't do some of these things that we're teaching, it's really going to help you. So being unteachable is dangerous. If you are, maybe I should put a positive spin on this and say, being teachable. You should be teachable instead of being, don't be unteachable. Don't be unteachable is double negative, right?
It is.
Don't be unteachable. Anyway, you need to be teachable. You need to be teachable.
Oh my goodness. I'm just thinking of some of the people that I've met in ministry situations. Mm-hmm. I know you're talking more about finances here, but like you said, this applies to all different circumstances. But some of the people I've met in ministry situations that are unteachable, these are the people that will come and they'll ask for help, but then they will spend the whole time telling you, I've done that, I've done that, yeah, I've done that, or just talking all the time. And you know, to me, the inability to listen because they're too busy thinking about what they're going to say is a sign of being unteachable. They're not hearing. You know, they're either not listening or they're not hearing.
What'd you say?
Anyway, husband training 101 will follow.
My wife says... My wife says, I don't listen to her properly or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I can't
remember. But no, you're true. You're true. You're right. Some people, it's true. They listen and they're not really listening. All they're doing is waiting for you to stop talking so they can tell you their thing. What really bugs me is like talk radio and things like this. You know, I listen to like the Dave Ramsey show on finances in the afternoon. And I'll be listening.
That's a great show.
It's a great show. People phone up Dave Ramsey. Now, he is the financial expert when it comes to getting people out of consumer debt. He's the best in the
great
business
program. Yeah.
To get you out of consumer debt. So if you want to get out of consumer debt, look up Dave Ramsey. He'll really help you. So he's an expert. He has literally got millions of people out of consumer debt. People phone him up and say, Dave, you know, and it's live on the radio. I need help with this, this, and this. And Dave Ramsey will start giving him advice. They go, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
They know
everything
anyway. Why are they calling?
I've already done that. Yeah, I've already done that. Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I was like, no, you didn't know that. If you knew that, you wouldn't be calling Dave Ramsey.
Right.
You wouldn't be 100 grand in consumer debt. You wouldn't have 50 grand worth of credit card debt, you muppet. Stop saying you know that. Stop.
That's the other half of the audience.
Eat some humble pie and realize, you know, in this area, you don't know as much as this guy because this guy's the expert and you're not the expert in this area.
So listen to their wisdom.
Amen. You may know more in a different area, but in this area, you don't know as much as this person. So don't, you know, make sure you're teachable. And I'm just going to be honest with you, you're going to be teachable for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're always learning.
In fact, I got the privilege of meeting Peter J. Daniels. He's an Australian businessman and he was at one time the wealthiest Australian in the world. He was the wealthiest Australian. He had the biggest real estate company in Australia. He's well in his 80s now.
So if you're the wealthiest Australian in the world, does that mean you're just the wealthiest Australian?
You're the wealthiest Australian.
Yeah.
Is there a difference in?
Well, the wealthiest Australian in the world. Does that make sense?
No. He's the wealthiest Australian.
He's really rich Australian man.
He had a lot of money in Australia.
His
net worth was somewhere around $6 billion and he'd given billions of dollars away. And his whole thing, he was at 28 years old, he was an illiterate bricklayer. That's all he could do, lay bricks.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then he started listening to the promises of God. And he was like, if God can do it for Abraham, God could do it for me. And he thought, you know what? I want to find out how much money can one man make in this world and how much money can one man give away in this world. In fact, that was his whole goal. How much money can one man give away? And this man has given away literally billions, with a B, billions of dollars in his lifetime. And he's done so many amazing things. Anyway, he's a great guy. Peter J. Daniels, he owns his own bank, his own currency and everything. Anyway. My point is this. I forget my point. What was my point? My point is this.
I don't know.
Peter J. Daniels, I got to meet him a few years ago, and I was chatting with him, and it was really humbling to meet him. You know what? First of all, I was listening to him. I was not giving him my advice and telling him all about
right.
All I want to do is hear from him.
Yep.
This guy's in his 80s, and I want to hear from him. I want to hear his wisdom. But he, you know what? He was telling me he's still teachable. He's like, you know, he still learns every day. And I'm thinking this guy's in his late 80s, mid to late 80s, multi-billionaire, and there he is, wants to, he says he still learns. So we're going to be learning for the rest of our lives. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how what a big deal you are, whenever your industry is or whatever, you will always be learning. And if you start to think that you're not teachable anymore, that's a dangerous point because that's pride. Pride will set in, and if you can't be taught, that's dangerous. So make sure you're teachable. You know, Andrew Womack says this. He said, I haven't arrived, but I've left. That's his like catchphrase, right? I haven't arrived, but I've left. You know, there's a lot of people that think they've arrived, but they haven't even left. So don't be one of those people.
They're just deluded.
Don't be one of these people that think they've arrived, and they haven't even left. You know what? You haven't arrived. We don't arrive until we get to heaven. So on this journey of life, we're going to be learning. We need to be teachable the whole time. So don't be unteachable. Make sure you're always teachable, and make sure that you know. You know, some people just get stuck in their ways. Right. And again, no condemnation. Please don't go anywhere. I love you. But some of us, myself included, we just like being stuck in our ways.
But then you keep doing the same thing over and over again, wondering why you're not getting different results.
Yeah, it's the definition. One of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, expecting different results.
So in your finances, if you want different results, or the same with anything, but if you want different results, you have to do something different.
You've got to do something different. So I'm telling you, some of us like to do the same thing over and over, even though it's not working, but we're type of happy to be in this position where we are in. I sometimes it's like a baby. You know what? Their diaper or their nappy is poopy, but it's warm and it's theirs and they're happy to sit in it. It's like, it's a really bad example.
So when the poop goes cold, then they'll be ready really to bad move. Example. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know what? You need to realise you're not always right, okay? You a lot of the times, even though you think, yeah, but I've lived this way for decades, it doesn't matter. You could be 30 years, 40 years into belief and still be wrong. Okay, it doesn't make it any more right. So be prepared to change. Be prepared to be taught something and eat some humble pie and realise, you know what? Yes, these people know more than me in this area. It's not about value. God values us all the same. Mm-hmm. It's not about one person more important than another person. You know what? It doesn't matter. It's like if I was to drive from one town to another town, we live in Colorado Springs, and you know, if we was to drive to Denver, it's about an hour away. If I was going to drive to Denver, and halfway to Denver, there was a wreck on the interstate, on the motorway, and I called my friend who had just left Colorado Springs and said, hey, take 83 or take 85. There's a wreck on I-25. I'm not better than them. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not trying to lord it over them or whatever. I'm just further up the road than them on this journey, and I've experienced something, and now I can help them not have to experience that hardship. So whether it's parenting, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whatever it is, gardening, pet handling.
Gardening?
I don't know. I don't care what it is. Find someone who's further up the road than you. Find someone that's more experienced than you. And you know what? Take their advice. Ask them questions. Sometimes we don't like to ask questions of people because it's like a weakness. Well, I should have it all together.
Because you're too worried what people think of you. It's kind of making yourself a little bit vulnerable, maybe exposing the fact that you don't know everything that you want people to think you know.
Amen. You know what? There's power in saying, you know what? I don't know this. Can you help me? I'm not sure about this. Can you help me? Someone asks you a question. You know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out. I'll find out if you can get back to you. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's stop being proud and let's stop being in pride and refusing help. And if we need help in an area, find someone who can help in that area. One of my things here is, you know what? Find successful people. Surround yourself with successful people. Okay? Try and get around them. And, I love to take successful people out for dinner and buy their meal and listen.
Just listen.
Take some questions with me and listen. And I'd be like, tell me about this. How did you overcome this challenge? How did you overcome that challenge? What did you do in this situation? Take your questions to them and then listen. I've got a friend who says, you know what? Make sure it's like a 5-course meal that's really expensive.
It's going to take a long time.
It'll take them longer to eat it. And make sure you pay for it and listen to their advice. It's powerful. If you don't know anyone like that, you know what? You can read biographies, autobiographies. You should be reading books and learning, always learning. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. We can always be learning and always learn from other people's mistakes and successes.
Right. Amen. Praise God. Speaking of learning.
So, book plug. You're gonna do a
book, want me to do the book plug?
You can do a book plug. You go for it.
Well, I believe this is going to bless you. This is Ash's book. This is the best book he's ever written.
That's because it's the only book I've ever written. But it is the best book
I've ever written. This is called Thorns, Barns and Oil Jars. It's the keys to your financial prosperity. And it's about working, saving and giving. So if you need some foundational truths, some practical know-how on how to get your finances in order and start working, saving and giving and seeing biblical principles in finances working in your life, then read this book. I think it will really be a blessing to you.
Amen.
And you can get that on our website, which is?
TerryDesministries.com.
It is.
People say that when they read my book, they read it in an English accent.
Oh, my goodness.
No, seriously, they hear my English voice come through.
That's bizarre.
That's kind of funny, isn't it? So, you know, there's just a couple of enemies to your prosperity. We're talking about things that could be hindering your prosperity. We've looked at being unteachable, not being teachable, and also, what did we look at? We looked at independence.
Yes,
trying to be independent, trying to do it your way. Mm-hmm. You know what? So, you know, we need to avoid those things and realize, you know what? God's got a good plan for you. God wants you to be successful, but he's created us, so we need other people. We need God and we need other people to be successful. And you know what they say? There's no I in team. So we do need a team of people. It takes a village. We do need a team of people. We need people to help us. And it's not weakness. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you're just in pride and like, you know, I can do this on my own.
Right.
Because that is not a good place to be.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Let's pray
for the people. We're out of time, but we're going to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for every person listening and watching today. I thank you, Lord, that you want them to be dependent on you.
Mm.
I thank you, Lord, you're a good father. You only have good things for us. You only have good plans for us. And you have such good things for us. You have a plan for us. Jeremiah 31, you have an expected end for us. You have a good plan for our lives. And we can trust you with our lives. And I thank you, Lord, you've given us key people in our lives to draw from. I thank you, Lord, that we can help other people when they come to us for help. I thank you, Lord, that you've made us so that we're going to be interconnected. We're going to be people that rely on you, Lord, and work as a team to be successful. And I thank you, Lord, for people watching today. If they feel convicted about being too, dependent on themselves, too independent, or maybe they feel like, you know what, they know it all. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show them, you're going to soften their heart and let them see, you know what, you've got things to get to them. You want to give them new things, new tools, new things to learn. And you're going to use people to get them things to them. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you and you've got good things for us. And I pray for success for everyone listening and watching today. I thank you for success. I thank you for abundance. I thank you for success and abundance in your finances. I thank you people are getting breakthrough in their finances in Jesus' name. And they're going to new levels, praise God, and better than ever before. They're making more than they've ever made and they're giving more than they've ever given in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God is good. He's got good things for you. So I want to remind you, you can go to our website, terrydesministries.com. If you go there today, we will give you this confession card that tells you who you are in Christ. That'll really bless you. Lots of scriptures there really help you, really cement your identity in Christ. Praise God. You can also go to our website and leave your testimonies and questions. We'd love to hear from you. So if you've got any testimonies, if you've received anything from these Abundant Life shows, be sure to drop us a line on our website. Just hit the contact us button. We'd love to hear from you. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to our channels and learn as much as you can, praise God.
Amen.
We love doing these shows. We appreciate you. We appreciate our partners. If you're a partner with TerryDes Ministries, I want to thank you because you're making these shows possible. You're making it possible for us to travel. You're making it possible for us to get resources out there. So we thank you for that. And until next time, we'll be back soon. And until then, remember, don't just live the normal life when you can live the abundant life. We'll see you next time.
To order your copy of the book featured in our program, visit our website, terrydesministries.com.
Hey guys, I want to thank you for your partnership with TerryDes Ministries. You know, through your partnerships, we're able to make television programs, we're able to get the good news of the gospel, the grace of God, the love of God out there to people who may never hear it otherwise. We get to go on all different platforms, we also get to travel and to take this good news. We've gone to different continents, different countries, and we're able to spread the good news of God's goodness around the world, praise God. So we want to thank you for that.
Amen. Every time we go out and minister, you go with us. You're part of those testimonies. You're part of those miracles. You're reaching the world through your active giving. Thank you.
If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerryDes Ministries. Visit our website, terrydesministries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And you know, it just fascinates me here how things can escalate so quickly. You know, fear is, I love the acronym, fear is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
And so often when we look at our circumstances, if we're not careful, if we don't have a healthy perspective, and we start listening to our emotions a little bit too much, our mind can start to move away from facts and into speculation. And that's a dangerous place to be, right? Because we start to lose perspective.
Right.
And like you were saying, whatever we're thinking upon, then our emotions will follow and our actions will follow what we're thinking upon. Our actions will follow. Our emotions are following what we're thinking upon and our actions will follow our emotions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking of a story I heard one time. This just made me laugh. This seems like such a normal, everyday thing. But the teaching was about a fence, basically. Okay. And a neighbor, a man borrowed, he lent his lawnmower to his friend, his neighbor.
Okay.
And so his neighbor went off down the street with his lawnmower. And all of a sudden, the man, he started thinking, you know, I didn't tell him, you know, how to properly take care of the lawnmower.
Right.
How to clean the blade, it's a little bit quirky, this lawnmower. You know, you gotta jiggle it a little bit, you gotta plug it in just right, sometimes the wire, you
sounds
know.
Sounds like one of my lawnmowers.
Sounds like you, actually, right? And, you know, you gotta yank it here and twist it here and knock it just, and if you don't
hold
treat it
face.
Just right.
You gotta hold your face just right as you pull the,
you know,
pull the thing.
Yeah, the conditions have gotta be perfect for this to operate, and if they're not perfect, if you don't caress this lawnmower in the way that it's accustomed, the whole thing could blow up. I mean, there could be a fire, there could be an explosion. My lawnmower, then he started thinking, he's gonna break my lawnmower. He's gonna break my lawnmower. And then he started to get annoyed. You know, the man, he's my neighbor, he's taken my lawnmower and he's not gonna treat it right. And you know, he's not gonna twink it and
twink it
and caress it and
handle it. You heard it here first, people.
I'm so mechanical.
Lawnmower caressing. And twinking.
No,
you're caressing your lawnmower. Right here, abundantlife.com. That's where you can get it, right here.
For all your lawnmower twinking needs, just write us at terrydesministries.com.
And for those Americans watching, we're talking about lawnmowers, not lawnmowers.
Thank you. Anyway, so he got to thinking, this neighbor is not going to look after it right. It's going to blow up. And by the time I get my lawnmower back, you know, I'm going to have to buy a whole new lawnmower because it's going to be useless. And not only that, my grass is going to grow out of control. I mean, he started to get himself completely worked up because his mind had already gone to thinking on every little thing that could go wrong. It wasn't even truth. None of it had actually happened. But he started to get into fear because he started to consider everything that was wrong. Even though it was false evidence, there wasn't any evidence, it started to appear real in his own heart. And so his emotions started to follow what he was thinking upon, and those feelings of anger and offense. I mean, before you know it, he was mad at the man for borrowing his lawnmower before the man had even cut his grass with it.
It was all
in his head.
Yeah.
It was all offense. And you see, fear had started to get into the realm of speculation. And you know when you're in fear, people can say, that's not my problem. Well, have you ever felt your heart beating a little bit faster?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever felt palpitations when you think about a certain thing, right? And maybe it is just offense, right? When you see somebody and you naturally avoid them, you know, you cross the street or you don't answer their phone call, or you read that email and somebody's written in caps, all caps.
Yeah.
And you start to get fear like, oh no, you know, they want something or they're not happy with me.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.